So in my last message, we explored four activities engaged upon by the people on the day of Pentecost and the time soon thereafter in Acts 2, verse 42. And those who were gathered together spent their time in learning doctrine, in prayer, in breaking of bread. But they also spent their time in koinonia, which is a word with a deep meaning that I want to further explore with you today. As I mentioned in the previous message, koinonia is a word that occurs 20 times in the Bible. Koinonia's primary meaning can be expressed with the following words: fellowship, sharing in common, community, intimacy. Koinonia is a key component in our Christian journey. Our journey is interactive. Interactive with God. Interactive with others we come in contact with. And interactive with the fellow members of the body of Christ, the family we have here. Koinonia is being in agreement with one another, being unified in purpose, serving alongside one another. Our koinonia with each other is based upon our common connection, our fellowship, our community with the Father and Jesus Christ. We went through 1 John 1, verse 3 in the New Living Translation, which I would like to read again. It states, "We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship or koinonia with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." Our fellowship with each other is much more than just casual conversations at church. Having a cup of coffee and a cookie once a week and saying what happened, it's far deeper than that. We are in a journey together, and being together, is so important that it's mentioned in Hebrews 10, verse 25. And I would like to read that verse again from the Common English Bible. "Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which people have gotten into the habit of doing." And why is the writer of Hebrews saying this? Is it because of doctrine? Is it because of prayer? Is it because of worship, which are all very important and why we're here today? But the writer pinpoints a specific reason for meeting together. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. We are to be together, not just one day a week for a few hours at services, but whenever we can and however we can, so we can encourage one another, especially as we face difficulties, especially as we face these incredibly challenging times in society around us. We could face it together. In understanding the deep meaning of koinonia, we also reviewed various usages of the phrase "one another" as it is addressed in the Bible. They were showing honor to one another, being compassionate and courteous with each other, welcoming each other, even in our differences, comforting and encouraging each other, admonishing one another to give a warning, but to do so in a gentle, sincere, friendly manner. And we do it privately. Being hospitable to one another, loving one another with a pure heart. This is the essence of koinonia. For today's message, I would like to expand on the concept of koinonia as it relates to sharing one's burdens, specifically focusing on the verses in Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5. For those who would like a title, it is Exploring Koinonia, Sharing Our Burdens. So to begin with, let's turn to Galatians 6, verse 1. Galatians 6, verse 1. It states in Galatians 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Let's examine two Greek words that are used in this verse. The first is trespass, which means a falling away, a lapse, a false step, a trespass, a sin. And the second is restore, to strengthen, to perfect, to complete, to make one what he ought to be. Thus, we can see we have a responsibility to help a fellow member of our spiritual family who is struggling, who maybe has a lapse in judgment, a false step, a slip, someone who sins, falls short to the mark. We have a responsibility to restore, to strengthen, to make that person what they ought to be, in gentleness and in kindness. When someone in our spiritual family missteps, we are not to ignore that, but to engage. When someone in the body of Christ has a lapse of judgment, not to criticize, but to encourage. When one of God's children falls and is struggling to get up, we are not to denigrate, gossip about, but lift up. But there is a warning. And in doing so, we need to be careful. We need to consider ourselves and where we stand spiritually, lest we also be tempted. In other words, as the English Standard Version states, keep a watch on yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, in order to help someone, we need to be strong in the faith. We need to be careful, use wisdom, lest we find ourselves being sucked in the same condition. So let's go to verse 2, Galatians 6, verse 2. "Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." The New Living Translation states it, "Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ." The Common English Bible says, "Carry each other's burdens, so you will fulfill the law of Christ." Bear, share, carry. There are also two Greek words I would like us to take a look at with regard to this scripture. The first is to bear or carry. To take up in order to carry it about. To put upon oneself something to be carried. To bear what is burdensome. And then the second word I want to look at is burden, which implies heaviness. Weight, burden, trouble, load. We are to bear one another's burdens. So what does that mean? In this context, let's further examine burden. We are familiar with scriptures where it notes that we are to cast our cares and burdens that we carry to God. Let's take a look at two of them. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. And I would like to read from the English Standard Version. It states, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Let's go to Matthew 11, verse 28. And I'd like to read from the Common English Bible, Matthew 11, verse 28. It states in Matthew 11, verse 28, the Common English Bible, "Come to me, all of you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put my yoke and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. We are to put our burdens, our challenges of everyday life that wear us down, those worries and our anxieties, in God's hands. The next scripture that I want us to turn to ties into Galatians 6, verse 2. We take the comfort we receive from God and we provide it to others to help in their burdens, whether it's struggling with a sin, a tragedy, bad news that has been received, or anxieties one's facing. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. It states in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort of which we ourselves were comforted by God. The Common English Bible renders it this way. He is the one who comforts us in all our troubles, so we can comfort other people who are in every kind of trouble. We offer the same comfort that we ourselves receive from God. Sharing the comfort we receive from God, bearing each other's burdens. This is part of koinonia. The giving of our time, the sharing of our troubles, our challenges, sharing our mistakes, and the desire to overcome them. So we can encourage one another to change, to grow in grace and knowledge and in the love of God. It's not about being a dumping ground for someone's emotions. It's about constructively helping someone who's going through a difficult time and is struggling. It's to be there, sometimes just silently. It is to encourage. We see in Galatians 6:2 that we are to bear or carry or share one another's burdens. The prior verse leads one to believe that the burdens spoken here relate to the struggles one has to overcome, such as sin, the frustration of falling short, or the guilt of failing and failing again in that journey, and the encouragement we all need to overcome. Indeed, that's part of our koinonia. That's part of our fellowship. That's part of our community, to realize that we all have faults and we share and we encourage to grow. But there's much more to sharing our burdens than we are just working to overcome. There's principles in the Bible related to the need for us to look out for one another. This is also part of koinonia. Galatians 6, verse 10. Let's turn there. Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10. It states in Galatians 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let's do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith, especially to those of the koinonia, especially those who are stumbling and falling, who are amongst us. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. States, be kind to one another, tender-hearted or compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Paul's message to the koinonia, to the fellowship, to the community in Galatia and Ephesus, was they were to be a community of people to take responsibility for the needs of fellow believers, to look out for someone, looking out for someone who's maybe struggling, to look out for others, to do good to those in the household of faith, to be kind to one another, to be compassionate, to share in our burdens, even though we have to admit we're not perfect to each other. And those difficult burdens are difficult to share, aren't they? That is our shortcomings, our missteps, our failures. We don't like to share those all that much, do we? Someone might think we're not perfect. Our society tends to be individualistic. It's a do-it-on-your-own approach. The reality is, God didn't put us on this earth and in this world to fight through life alone. He didn't establish a church of individuals to fight individually. We need trusted people around us to share our griefs, to listen to our fears, to comfort us in our sorrows, to carry our burdens. And we should be there for others and not dismissive, not looking down, not judgmental for those who need caring. In my research for this message, I found the following quote to be poignant. No greater burden can be borne by an individual than to know none who cares or understands. It's tough to go through life with nobody caring and nobody understanding. Let's continue on with this discussion by reading Galatians 6, verse 3. It states, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in other. For each one shall bear his own load." Do we have a contradiction here? Galatians 6:5 states that each one should bear their own load. Does that conflict with verse 2 where it states that we are to bear one another's burdens? How can we bear someone else's burdens if we're supposed to carry our own load? Does that mean we cannot share our load that weighs us down to others? How does verse 2 fit with verse 5? The Greek word translated load in Galatians 6:5 is phortion, not baros, as in verse 2. And this phortion means to a burden that must be carried on by the individual as something personal and hence is not transferable. It cannot be shifted to someone else. Verse 5 describes obligations for which we are responsible. So let's compare the two. So verse 2, we have burden. And it implies a heaviness, a weight, a burden, a trouble. In Galatians 2, it's used of some troublesome moral faults, of falling short. Load, a burden that must be carried on by the individual, not transferable. Or load from Strong's. They are two different words, and they're two different definitions for these words and two different meanings that we'll explore now. So we'll definitely look at some examples in the Bible where we are individually responsible. This is our load in this life. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. And we're familiar with these scriptures, but they talk about our load. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. It states in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, is denied the faith, household, and is worse than an unbeliever." It is our responsibility. It is our load to provide for those of one's household. It's not something we can just give to someone else and make someone else's responsibility. It's ours. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. S- 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. It states, "For even when we're with you, we command you do this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." If we have the ability to work and we have needs to meet, we should work to meet them. That is our responsibility. That is our load. And we do it to the best of our ability. We are also to be holy in conduct. This is our responsibility. This is our load. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. "But as he who has called you holy, you shall also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We cannot have someone else be holy for us, to be set apart, to be different from the world, special to the Lord, for us. It's our responsibility to be holy. That's our load. Romans 14, verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. And it states in Romans 14, verse 10, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For it shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.'" So, verse 12, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." We are accountable for our actions. We cannot transfer that load to someone else. We are each responsible before God for the talents and the resources he has entrusted to us. We cannot blame others, shift responsibility, or make excuses why we are unfaithful with the assignments we have been given. We must bear our own loads. But there are also times when life threatens to overwhelm us. A family member passes. Someone loses a job. Someone finds out they have a serious illness. We struggle with overcoming, and we become discouraged by our lack of growth. We know we need to overcome. We know that's our load. But sometimes it discourages us. We are frustrated when we stumble and fall, and at times we just want to give up the fight. As part of the family of God, we are to come to aid to our spiritual brothers and sisters in need, to help with that burden. Not to take away the load, but to help, to encourage, to help with the burden of discouragement, to help with the burden of anxiety, to help with the burden of despondency, to help with the burden of not seeing a way forward, to help with the burden of not seeing ever to overcome something we are battling with. Philippians 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ and any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, each esteem others better than himself." And verse 4, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." When a burden becomes too heavy for one person, we are to share in it. We are to encourage one another, pray for one another, lift one another, and the added strength and encouragement of others is sometimes the difference between an individual pressing on or giving up. We know, as we read in Galatians 6:2, that we are to bear one another's burdens is to fulfill the law of Christ. And we can see a fulfillment of that law in John 13:34. John 13, verse 34. John 13, verse 34. It states in John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another." This new commandment is more than just looking out for one another, though. It's manifested by being a witness to the world, that the world will know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ if we demonstrate our love, if we demonstrate that we are willing to carry each other's burdens, that we don't look down upon each other for somebody who stumbles and falls, but we lift them up. And let's read verse 35. "By this, that all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Our love is being shown by caring, bearing, sharing the burdens we face, encouraging each other as we see the day approaching. This leads me to the following question. Can bearing others' burdens prove to be unhealthy for us? In other words, is it possible to get overwhelmed with another person's struggles, to become preoccupied with them, so much so that we find ourselves becoming frustrated and discouraged and worn down, and maybe even falling into the same trap that befell them? What do you think? In bearing one another's burdens, we need to understand that it's not our responsibility to fix others, to fix their problems. In fact, it could very well be the case that we might care for the person's problems more than the person does. Have we ever found ourselves in a situation like that? We all have responsibilities in life. We all have our individual load. If we believe that God is working our lives, then we believe it's what it says in Philippians 2:13, where it says that God works in us. We have to remember that God may be working with someone else on a matter. And what we are doing is effectively meddling rather than caring, rather than sharing, rather than bearing. It could be that God is watching over them, leading them to a point where they will care what's going on and finally take on some responsibility for their actions. And unknowingly, we could be the hindrance to that effort by our own actions to step in, help, and fix the situation. In our willingness to help, we may be creating more problems by lifting the responsibility from that person. This is their faith journey. Yes, we can and we must encourage. But we need to consider if we're enabling the person's behavior by interjecting ourselves into their lives. And this is not an easy answer. This is where we need to pray to God for wisdom and seek the counsel of others. As it states in Proverbs 11, verse 4, "In the multitude of counsel, there is safety." In addition, we need to be careful that we're not allowing the burdens of others to consume us or to tear us down. As we are warned in Galatians 6, verse 1, we can pray for a person. We can encourage a person. We can help a person. But in reality, we cannot make the change for that person. It is a load that individual bears. This is their life's responsibility, and we have our life's responsibility. We need to keep that in mind when we help others and as we encourage others, as we bear each other's burdens. Finally, may need help of a medical professional. We should not try to step into an area where an expertise of a medical professional is needed. We need to be fully aware of our limitations when we help others. To close, I would like to read a conclusion from an article entitled "Bearing Witness to Others' Pain" by Eileen Ruhoy, MD, PhD, from Psychology Today's website. It was posted on January 8, 2022. And this article discusses a time when Dr. Ruhoy, when she was as a resident, she spent time in the hospital. There was a certain situation where she was comforting parents of a young child who had a tragic accident in the home. The attending physician, working in an academic medical center makes these stories real. The attending physician in the pediatric intensive care unit, or PICU, explained that a three-year-old child had fallen headfirst into a large bucket filled with cleaning fluid while the mother was cleaning the floors. His lungs were filled with the detergent, he could not breathe, and his brain was unable to receive oxygen. Dr. Ruhoy was asked to come down to the PICU to assess brain function and consult with the family regarding his prognosis. The parents were devastated. At some point, Dr. Ruhoy found herself sitting with the parent quietly for hours, not saying a word, just being there. In a reflection of this situation, Dr. Ruhoy made the following comments, and I believe these comments are very insightful to us as we share our burdens. We are neighbors and part of a larger community. We all experience joy, fear, and sadness. We all have wants and needs and hopes for the future, but life can bring tragedy and pain. And it is important that we stand and hold space for one another. Reaching out and being present for others also helps strengthen our own sense of purpose and outlook in our lives. We benefit when we allow accessibility. We benefit when we don't look away. Especially in this world we live in, we yearn to know that we will hold one another up, both literally and metaphorically. We find it easy to witness happy events with such as weddings and births, but we also must find within us the ability to bear witness to the pain and sadness of others. Many fear they don't know what to say or afraid they will say something insensitive or inappropriate, but you don't have to say anything. Your presence can speak volumes. It may feel uncomfortable or awkward, but that's okay. Discomfort and awkwardness are fleeting when we are doing the right thing. When the sun arose, the parents thanked me for sitting with them. The mother has since sent me cards over the years, and I learned a great deal about my role as a physician and a human. You will never regret being present for others in their time of pain. Have a great remainder of the Sabbath.